I'm Haley Williams of the Buffalo Buttes, and you're listening to The Experience Hockey Talk.
My name is Michael Lindbaum, and we are brought to you by the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt girls. For more information on Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And today is January 16th, and we are just going to jump right into it with the Capitals game at the New York Rangers on the 9th of January. The lineup for the Washington Capitals was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Schmero with Michael Latta and Tom Wilson, Paul Carey with Brooks Lake and Stanislav Galiv. Defense pairings were Carl Alzner with Matt Niskanen, Dmitry Orlov with Nate Schmidt, Aaron Ness with Taylor Chorney, and Braden Holtby in net. And the first period started off with a penalty at 10:10 when TJ Oshie was called for hooking. Then at 12:58, Jesper Fast was called for hooking. Then at 16:57, Tom Wilson was called for holding. And then at 19:26, Victor Strahlberg was called for interference. On that power play in 1945, Alex Ovechkin scored his 23rd of the season, which was unassisted. At the end of the first period, the Washington Capitals were up 1-0 on the Rangers. Shots were even at 8 apiece. Faceoffs were 13-8 in favor of Washington. Hits were 10-7 in favor of Washington. And on the power play, the Capitals were 1-for-2, where the Rangers were 0-for-2. Honestly, this was not an impressive period for the Caps. They were impressive on their penalty killing, but it was luck that they got a goal. They need to clean up their game and focus on executing their game plan better. Then, in the second period, Evgeny Kuznetsov was called for hooking at 1:13 into the period, and then Justin Williams scored his 12th of the season from Nate Schmidt, his 7th assist of the season at 3:56. At the end of the second period, Washington would be up 2-0. Shots were 18-16 in favor of the Rangers. Faceoffs were 24-15 in favor of Washington. Hits were 21-19 in favor of Washington. And on the power play, the Caps were still 1-for-2, and the Rangers were 0-for-3. This was an okay period for the Caps. You can see them getting their game together. Biggest gripe is when Galiv elected to pass instead of shoot the puck on a net while on a 3-on-1. That needs to be a shot on net and let the other crash the net looking for rebounds. Going into the third period, Oscar Lindberg scored at 5:54 into the third period, his 11th of the season from Dominic Moore from Ryan McDonough. Then Kevin Hayes was called for high sticking at 7:41. And then Kevin Hayes would actually score his 7th of the season at 9:48, assisted by Ryan McDonough and Derek Brassard. Then at 13:11, Victor Stahlberg scored his 6th of the season from Keith Yandle and Kevin Hayes. And then at 19:54, Nicholas Backstrom scored his 13th of the season from Justin Williams, his 14th of the season, and Matt Niskanen, his 16th assist of the season, to tie the game at 3 apiece. And then at the end of the third period, it was Washington and the Rangers tied at 3 apiece. Shots were 30-25 in favor of Washington. Faceoffs were 31-25 in favor of Washington. And hits were 27-25 in favor of Washington. Caps were 1-for-3 on the power play, and the Rangers were 0-for-3 on the power play. The analysis for this period: the fact that the Caps forced this game in overtime is remarkable. It took the Rangers scoring 3 goals to take a 3-2 lead to wake the Caps up. The Caps do not deserve to win this game. And then going into overtime, Alex Ovechkin scored his 24th of the season unassisted at 1:25 into the overtime to win the game for the Capitals 4-3, with the shots being 31-26 in favor of Washington, faceoffs were 31-28 in favor of Washington, hits were 27-25 in favor of Washington, and the power play was 1-for-3, where the Rangers were 0-for-3. The key word for this Caps game was luck. The Cavs had luck on their side as they defeated the Rangers. The Cavs need to refocus and get back to playing their game in their next game. I honestly thought that the Cavs played horrible this game. I don't think they put in their best effort. Sure, they got goals from Ovi, Backstrom, and Williams, but at the same time, it was just, it was not an impressive game, and it was not fun to watch if you're a Cavs fan. I mean, unless you were just happy they got the win. But honestly, I wasn't happy with that. I didn't even think the Caps deserved the win at all. But you know what? Going into the next day, January 10th, against the Ottawa Senators at home, the lineup for the Washington Capitals was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Chimero with Zach Sill and Tom Wilson, Brooks Lake with Stanislav Galev and Paul Carey. Defensive pairings were Carl Alzer with Matt Niskanen, Dmitry Orlov with Nate Schmidt, and Aaron Ness with Taylor Chorney with Philip Grubauer in the net. In the first period, Justin Williams was called for hooking 142 into the period, but then at 8:07, Justin Williams would get his 13th of the season from Andrei Burakovsky, his 7th assist of the season. Then at 10:11, Bobby Ryan was called for interference, and on that power play, TJ Oshie would score his 15th of the season at 10:58 from Evgeny Kuznetsov and Nicholas Backstrom, their 25th and 26th assists of the season, respectively. The Max McCormick was called for roughing and for unsportsmanlike conduct at 12:44, and Tom Wilson was called for unsportsmanlike at 12:44. Then Dmitry Orlov was called for cross-checking at 15:29, and Philip Grubauer was called for hooking, which was served by Alex Ovechkin, at 18:28. At the end of the first period, the Washington Capitals were up 2-0. Shots were 12-7 in favor of Washington, 15-10 in faceoffs for Washington. Hits were 6-5 in favor of Washington, and the Caps were 1-2, whereas Ottawa was 0-2 with their third in progress. And then the analysis for that first period, this was a good first period for the Caps. That on the board, they got on the board early and then got another while on the power play. The Caps are playing very good, and all that they really need to do is cut down on the penalties and continue to dominate in the offensive zone. And then going into the second period at 3:32, Mike Hoffman scored his 20th of the season unassisted, but then the Caps responded with a goal of their own when Zach Sill scored his first of the season and first as a Washington Capital at 6:01, assisted by Jason Chimera and Carl Alzner, both their 11th assist of the season. Then at 7:55, Dmitry Orlov scored his 4th of the season from Nate Schmidt and TJ Oshie, their 9th and 12th assists respectively. Then Dmitry Orlov was called for holding at 10:50. Then Mark Stone was called for tripping at 15:20, which on that power play at 16:19, assisted by Jason Chimera and Andrei Burakovsky, their 12th and 8th assists of the season, Alex Ovechkin scored his 25th goal of the season and 500th career NHL goal, which to see Ovechkin get sworn by his teammates from the bench on the ice and the fans throwing hats and standing ovation for as long as it was a very special moment in Washington Capitals history, as well as for Alex Ovechkin's career. And then at the end of the second period, Washington was up 5-1 on Ottawa. Shots were 29-25. Faceoffs were 28-22 in favor of Washington. Hits were 12-8 in favor of Washington. Power play was 0-4 for Ottawa and 2-3 for Washington. This was a great and historic period for the Caps. For one, the Caps responded very well after the Senators scored the first goal of the period by scoring 3 unanswered goals, but also they have been playing their game and it to its fullest potential. Plus, seeing Alex Ovechkin score his 500th career goal was simply amazing. However, going into the third period, they need to keep playing their game, unlike when they did going into the third period against the New York Rangers. And in the third period at 8:28, Tom Wilson scored his third goal of the season from Jason Chimera, his 13th assist, and Aaron Ness, his 2nd assist. And then at 9:46, Alex Ovechkin scored his 26th goal of the season from Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, their 28th and 12th assists, respectively. Washington would go on to win the game 7-1. Shots were 33 for Ottawa and 36 for Washington. Faceoffs were 38-33 in favor of Washington. Hits were 16-11 in favor of Washington. On the power play, Ottawa was 0-4 and Washington was 2-3. This was a great dominating game for the Capitals. This was a win the Caps needed after their ugly win against the Rangers the night before. This is how the Caps should be playing every night. Everyone scoring, Ovechkin scoring, you getting contributing from all over the place. Plus, not only that, but when you look at the third period, no penalties were called. They played a disciplined game, and they took it to the Ottawa Senators. They literally were dominant in all three zones. And with that, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we are going to do the NWHL report. Looking for hockey cards to build your collection or that specific card you would like to have to get signed by your favorite player? Then I recommend Just Hockey Cards out in Silver Spring, Maryland. Donald takes good care of me when I'm looking to build my collection, and he'll help you too. For inquiries, reach out to Donald at blake4av@aol.com. That's blake4av@aol.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. And it's time for the NWHL report, which is brought to you by AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com. And starting off the NWHL report, we start with January 9th when the New York Rivers took on the Connecticut Whale. Danielle Ward scored two second-period goals in the span of 5 minutes, and Jamie Leonoff made 32 saves as the Whale picked up their 10th win of the NWHL season over the New York Rivers. Shannon Darkangelo scored 2:05 into the action Saturday night at Yale's Ingalls Rink, where the Whale honored former Bulldog Mandy Schwartz, who is also the sister to St. Louis Blues forward Jaden Schwartz. Kelly Stack would also score for the Whale in this game. Brooke Emmerman and Janine Weber scored for the Riveters. Nana Fujimoto made 24 saves on 28 shots. Then the next day, January 10th, the Boston Pride versus New York Rivers. Boston set an NWHL record, scoring 8 goals in a single regulation contest. There were also 7 different goal scorers, with Jillian Dempsey scoring 2, Hillary Knight, Amanda Pelkey, Rachel Lanes, Brianna Decker, Jordan Smelker, and Corinne Bowie all scoring goals. Brake Ketchum was scored the lone goal for the New York Riveters. Then also that day, the Connecticut Whale took on the Buffalo Buttes, where Kelly Stack and Yekaterina Smolentseva scored 2 goals as Connecticut capped off a perfect weekend with a 5-3 victory over Buffalo. The game featured 17 minor penalties called between the two clubs. Kelly Stedman scored a pair of goals for the Buttes in the defeat. Then, on the 12th of January, the NWHL Player of the Week was announced. The NWHL announced that Connecticut Whale forward Danielle Ward has been named Player of the Week. Ward scored 3 goals in Connecticut's 2 victories last week, including a pair over a 5-minute span during Saturday's 4-3 win versus New York. She also opened the scoring in Sunday's 5-3 victory over Buffalo. Then on the 14th, the NWHL All-Star Weekend festivities were announced. For Friday, January 22nd at 6:30 p.m., an All-Star Dinner hosted by the NWHL Foundation will happen. The NWHL All-Star Game Dinner will feature an open bar, buffet-style dining, sound and live auctions, as well as appearances by All-Star players. And at 7 p.m., Hillary Knight, Emily Falzer, and Buttes players will be at the Buffalo Sabres-Detroit Red Wings game at First Niagara Center. The two NWHL All-Star captains join member of the Buffalo Buttes at First Niagara Center for the Sabres-Red Wings game. The NWHL will have a table on the concourse where fans can meet the players and purchase tickets to the All-Star Weekend events. Then, on Saturday, January 23rd, it is Skate with the Stars at 8:45 p.m. This VIP event is limited to just 80 people and is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to skate with the 2016 NWHL All-Stars. And please note, if you do decide to purchase a VIP ticket to this event, you must bring your own ice skates, as rentals will not be available. And then on Sunday, January 24th at 2 p.m., 2016 NWHL All-Star Game will take place. Team Knight and Team Falzer will score off for the NWHL Supremacy at the Harbor Center. The All-Star Game will feature 2 components, a skills competition, and 2 periods of 4-on-4 hockey. Team Falzer will comprise of course, Captain Emily Falzer, with Brianna Decker, Megan Duggan, Kelly Stedman, Cheyenne Darkangelo, Zoe Hickel, Emily Field, Megan Bozak, Blake Bolden, Gigi Marvin, Nana Fujimoto, Brittany Ott, Morgan Fitzward, and Devin Skeets. Whereas Team Knight, obviously captained by Hillary Knight, will feature Casey Bellamy, Kelly Stack, Alyssa Gagliardi, Shelby Bram, Kaylee Fratkin, Janine Weber, Jordan Smelker, Jordan Brickner, Amanda Pelkey, Brianne McLaughlin, Jamie Leonoff, Madison Packer, and Haley Williams. Also, a note on jersey information. The All-Star Game jerseys manufactured by Pop Top Sportswear will feature the All-Star logo designed by Marcy De La Vega. Team Knight will wear white jerseys and Team Falzer will wear dark blue. After the weekend is over, all jerseys except for Knights and Falzers will be auctioned off with proceeds to benefit the Dena Lang Fund. And then going into the week ahead. The NWHL standings is as for first place the Connecticut Whale at 11-1-0 with 22 points. Second place the Boston Pride at 8-3-1 with 17 points. Third place the New York Rotors at 3-8-1 with 7 points. And fourth place the Buffalo Buttes at 2-7-2 with 6 points. And on tap tomorrow, January 17th at 3 p.m., it's the Connecticut Whale at the Boston Pride. And then at 7 p.m., the Buffalo Buttes at the New York Riveters. And for more information on the NWHL, visit them on nwhl.co and on Twitter at NWHL underscore. And when we come back from the break, we will have NWHL Player of the Week, Danielle Ward, on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, that next big convention's right around the corner, which is AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com today. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey fans. And I am now joined by the NWHL Player of the Week from the Connecticut Whale forward, Danielle Ward. Danielle, thank you for coming on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am doing great. Now, Danielle, you were named Player of the Week because you scored 3 goals in 2 games this past weekend. You scored 2 in the victory on Saturday against the Riveters and 1 to start off the scoring for your team's victory over Buffalo. What was it like to score those goals this past weekend and to contribute on the team?
It was a really good feeling. I feel like I haven't contributed that much this season. I've had a slow start. So to finally like break through that wall, it was a big relief. And of course, to get 2 wins on the weekend and be a part of that was really exciting.
Now, I want to backtrack a little bit because back around Christmas, your general manager resigned. And then that later that weekend, your team suffered your first loss, ending an 8-game winning streak. What was it like having that winning streak ended? And then what was it like to recreate the winning streak that you're currently on now?
It was tough to have that end. You know, we were coming off that 2-week break, and we'd only had 1 practice, and just everything was kind of up in the air at that point because, you know, we were all supposed to be back returning. We had a practice scheduled, but it was done by the GM, and, you know, not everyone made it back. And so we were just kind of a little lost at that point, but we're back on track, and we have George now who's taken over as the GM, and, you know, everything seems to be back on track, and he's working really hard to get everything going for us.
Now, what was it and I asked this question because it was brought up with the NBA Golden State Warriors, where they went on that massive winning streak to start their season, just like how you went on a massive winning streak to start your season. Mm-hmm. Was it kind of a sigh of relief to kind of get that loss out of the way?
Yeah, I mean, you say that you almost want to get that loss out of the way before you go into playoffs. It's really hard to go into a playoff game being an undefeated team. So in the sense that's kind of a relief, but I mean, of course, nobody likes to lose. So it was sad to see that streak go, but in a way, yeah, it was a relief. I think we can play a little looser now and not be so tense about it.
And speaking of that, your first loss came up. It's the Boston Pride, who is currently 8-3-1 in the league. They also are the team that handed you your team's first defeat. You play them this Sunday. If they win, they close the point gaps a little bit on you. What is some strategy that you want to go into against Boston this weekend?
We practice our defensive zone a lot this week, the coverage, and then we did a lot of work on the power play. Special teams has been really big for us this year. Our power play has been, I think they have the highest percentage in the league. So we just try to kind of mock what Boston does and practice how they're going to play against us. So hopefully that prepares us for them a little bit better this time.
Now, I want to talk about specific players on your team right now. You have players like Cheyenne D'Arcangelo and Jessica Kuzumi. What type of impact have those two players had on the team, both in and outside, or on and off the ice?
Cheyenne's had a huge impact. You know, she's a young player, but her maturity level is really high, and she's able to carry us, and she's scored a lot of really big goals for us. She's a big impact for us on and off the ice. And, I mean, Jess, she works hard. She works hard at practice and in games, so that's a good role model.
And for her, I actually put it out there when the fan voting was going on for the All-Star game. I put her name out there as one of the top names that should go into the All-Star game. Unfortunately, she didn't. With this year's All-Star game and the teammates that you have going already, what are your thoughts on that?
I think they picked it right. I think they, you know, picked our top players and our impact players. I was really happy to see Jordan Brickner get picked. She's kind of one of those silent players, but if you really watch her, she's actually very skilled and very good defenseman, so I was happy that that went noticed. But I think they did a good job in the voting.
And, you know, going back to your team's play, what do you think have been some of the biggest pluses to your team? Besides the wins, what are some of the biggest pluses to the Connecticut Whale season so far?
We have a lot of depth on our team, and every line we have plays a little different, and I think that helps us, especially against a team like Boston, who's, you know, they really rely on their skill. We have, you know, maybe a skilled line like for scoring, a passing line, and more of a grind line. So I think that gives us a little bit better depth. And, you know, of course, our goaltending is unreal. I think we have the best goaltenders in the league. So, you know, they've taken us really how far we've gotten here.
You know, and you bring up goaltending. When you look at goaltenders in the league in general, one name that comes up a lot is Nana Fujimoto of the New York Riveters, who's from Japan. What do you think about Nana Fujimoto coming from Japan to the States to play in the NWHL, and what impact do you think she's had on the league?
I think she's had a huge impact on the league. You know, she had the most jersey sales of anybody. So just the fact that she's brought that following – and I'm sure she's even helping girl hockey there, not only here. But, you know, coming here, not speaking English, it's such a huge move for her. And, you know, I really respect that.
And just thinking about that, who are some other players around the league that you think have been really good impact players that for just the league alone?
You know, a lot of like the national team players, obviously, because everyone knows their names. They knew who to watch. And, you know, maybe not necessarily that people are only watching them, but I think it grew interest for people initially. And so now that's helped grow a lot of the other stuff. Just them switching from the CW and coming to our league has been a really positive thing.
And bringing up the CWHL, recently the Boston Pride took part of the Women's Classic. To you as a female player, what was it like to see the women's game on a large scale like that?
I mean, that's huge. That's such a big step for women's hockey, and just that they had Boston versus Montreal just like the men did, that's, you know, a really great thing for our league.
And Danielle, I just want to say, you know, thank you for coming on. And with that, we'll be coming back from break. And Danielle, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Looking for a good time with some hard-hitting action, then come out to Joppa, Maryland for Maryland Championship Wrestling's Extreme Anniversary on January 23rd at the MCW Arena. Come see special guests Matt and Jeff Hardy for a special meet and greet, and see 9 hard-hitting matchups, including King Ryan McBride defending his MCW Heavyweight Championship against Matt Hardy. For more information or to purchase tickets to Extreme Anniversary, visit MarylandWrestling.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey fans. And we are now going into the third and final matchup that the Capitals had this past week, which was on January 14th against the Vancouver Canucks. The starting lineup for the Capitals was Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Marcus Johansson and Tom Wilson, Brooks Lake with Zach Sill and Stanislav Galiv. Carl Alsner and Matt Niskanen were the first defensive pairing, with Dmitry Orlov and Nate Schmidt on the second pairing, and Aaron Ness and Taylor Chorney on the third pairing, with Braden Holtby starting in net. And in the first period, there was nothing. There were no penalties. There were no goals. There was nothing. So going into the first intermission, Washington-Vancouver was tied, nothing-nothing. Shots were 13-8 in favor of Washington. Faceoffs were 7-5 in favor of Vancouver. Hits were 6-2 in favor of Washington, and neither team had a power play. This was a good first period for the Capitals. They they put good pressure on the Canucks and got some quality scoring opportunities on Ryan Miller. The period also had really good flow, not just for the Caps, but for the Canucks as well. The second period will be fun to watch if this keeps up. And when I say good flow, I mean the movement was just going back and forth so well. Both teams were generating some good scoring chances for each other. And it was just fun to watch in general. And then, of course, you know, having a nothing-nothing tie, it puts you into that going like, man, who's going to score that first period and when, or that first goal and when they're going to get it. So overall, a good quality first period for both teams. Going into the second period, Alexander Edler was called for tripping at 3:59, and then at 6:12, Evgeny Kuznetsov scored his 14th of the season from Dmitry Orlov, which was his 12th assist of the season. Then at 8:20, Lyndon Vay was called for high sticking. And then at 8:31, Nicholas Backstrom was called for interference, but Alexander Edler was also called for embellishment at 8:31. Washington would then score at 12:03 when Carl Alsner scored his third of the season from Andrei Burakovsky and Justin Williams, their 9th and 15th assists of the season. Then at 16:50, Nicholas Backstrom was called for hooking. At the end of the second period, Washington was up 2-0. Shots were 28-22 in favor of Washington. Faceoffs were 16-15 in favor of Washington. Hits were 12-4 in favor of Washington. Vancouver was 0-1 on the power play, whereas Washington was 0-2. This was a great period for the Caps as they were drawing penalties, creating chances, and most importantly, they got 2 goals on the board. Going into the third period, the Caps need to continue playing their game, stay out of the penalty box, and play smart. And then in the third period at 1:37, Tom Wilson scored his 4th of the season from Evgeny Kuznetsov and Andrei Burakovsky, their 26th and 10th assist of the season. Marcus Johansson was called for holding then at 9:10. Brooks Lyke was then called for high sticking at 9:55. Unfortunately, on the 5-on-3, Redding and Vrbata did score on the power play at 11:09 at his 11th of the season from Bo Horvat, his 11th assist, and Henrik Sedin, his 28th assist. But then at 19:59 in the empty net, Evgeny Kuznetsov got his 15th of the season, which was unassisted. Washington would win 4-1. Shots were 40-30 in favor of Washington. Faceoffs were 34-20 in favor of Washington. And hits were 20-8 in favor of Washington. Vancouver was 1-3 on the power play, but Washington was 0-2. This was a good third period. The Caps had a great start to the period when Tom Wilson scored early to give the Caps a 3-0 lead. However, the Caps got themselves into penalty trouble, which resulted in a Canucks goal. But the Caps persevered and were able to take back the momentum and control the rest of the game for the win. And also a side note for this game was that Mike Richards, who recently signed with the Capitals, skated in the pregame warmups. So he actually got his first taste of skating in a Washington Capitals uniform during pregame warmups. And with that, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we'll be doing NHL news and notes.
Tilted Kilt Girl Brittany here. Need a place to watch the game? Come to the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Frederick, home of the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls, come to the best-looking sports pub you've ever seen for all your Washington Capitals games viewing pleasure. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey Fan. And this is now time for NHL news and notes. And we start off with January 10th, when Alex Ovechkin scored his 500th and 501st career goals to lead the Washington Capitals to their 4th consecutive victory. Ovechkin became the 43rd player in NHL history and the first in Capitals history to reach the 500-goal milestone. Ovechkin became the 5th fastest player in NHL history in terms of games played to score 500 goals. Also on the 10th, Al Montoya turned aside 24-25 shots to help the Florida Panthers extend their franchise record win streak to 12 consecutive games. And also on the 10th, Sam Reinhart recorded the first hat-trick of his NHL career to help the Buffalo Sabres end a 6-game losing streak. Then on January 11th, the Toronto Maple Leafs announced that forward James Van Riemsdyk is expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks because of a non-displaced fracture in his left foot. Also on the 11th, the NHL Stars of the Week ending on 1-10 were announced. First star was Alex Ovechkin, left winger of the Washington Capitals. Ovechkin tied for first in the NHL with 5 goals in 4 games to power the league-leading Capitals to 4 straight wins. Then in second place was Peter Mrazek, goalie of the Detroit Red Wings. Mrazek went 3-0 with a .67 goals against average and a .97 save percentage and one shutout to backstop the Red Wings to three straight victories for the week, as well as their fourth consecutive victory overall, and all on the road. And the third star was Tyson Barrie, defenseman of the Colorado Avalanche. Barrie led all defensemen and shared second in the league with 3 goals, 3 assists, and 6 points in 4 games to lift the Avalanche to 6 of a possible 8 points. Also on January 11th, Robin Regier officially announced his retirement from the NHL in Calgary. The 35-year-old defenseman spent 11 of his 15 NHL seasons with the Calgary Flames. Regier also played with the Buffalo Sabres and the Los Angeles Kings, who he won the Stanley Cup with in 2014. Also on the 11th, Edmonton Oilers forward Matt Hendricks has been suspended for 3 games without pay for boarding Florida Panthers defenseman Aaron Ekblad in Edmonton on 1-10. Under the terms of the CBA and based on his average annual salary, Hendricks will forfeit $29,838.72. Also on the 11th, Daniel Sedin scored in regulation and again in overtime on the power play at 2:21 of overtime as the Vancouver Canucks ended the Florida Panthers franchise record winning streak at 12 consecutive games. Then on the 12th of January, the Chicago Blackhawks announced that they have signed head coach Joel Quenneville, who has coached the Blackhawks to a 3 Stanley Cup titles in the past 6 seasons, to a 3-year contract extension. And then on the 12th, Brock Nelson registered his first career hat trick and equaled a career high for points in a game with 4 to lead the New York Islanders to a 5-2 win against the Columbus Blue Jackets. On January 13th, Winnipeg Jets defenseman Tyler Myers had been fined $5,000 for cross-checking San Jose Sharks forward Tommy Wingles in Winnipeg on the 12th. And then also on the 13th, the New Jersey Devils forward Bobby Farnham has been suspended for 4 games without pay for interference against the St. Louis Blues forward Dmitry Jaskin in St. Louis on 1-12. Under the terms of CBA and based on his average annual salary, Farnham will forfeit $12,365.60. Also on the 13th, Sam Bennett scored 4 times, including a hat trick in the first period, to power the Calgary Flames to their 3rd win in their past 5 games and halt the Florida Panthers' franchise record point streak at 13 games. And then on the 14th, New Jersey Devils forward Jordan Tootoo has been fined $2,000 as supplementary discipline under NHL Rule 64, diving and embellishment. Then on the 14th, the Ottawa Senators acquired defenseman Connor Allen from the Nashville Predators in exchange for defenseman Patrick Mullen. On the 14th, Corey Crawford made 39 saves, including 17 in the third period, to backstop the Chicago Blackhawks to a 2-1 win against the Montreal Canadiens, their 9th consecutive victory, and propelled coach Joel Quenneville into sole possession of second place on the NHL's all-time wins list at 783, only now behind Scotty Bowman for most wins, who has 1,244. Then on the 15th, there was a 3-team trade involving the Arizona Coyotes, Montreal Canadiens, and the Nashville Predators, which saw 5 players change teams. Nashville first traded defenseman Victor Bartley to Arizona for defenseman Stefan Elliott. Then Arizona packaged Bartley and forward John Scott to Montreal for defenseman Jared Tenorti and forward Stefan Fournier. John Scott was elected the Pacific Division captain for the 2016 NHL All-Star Game in the fan vote, and is also the only representative for the Coyotes in the game. In a statement issued by the league, it said the league is evaluating how this trade impacts the Pacific Division roster for the 2016 All-Star Game. Let's have some real talk right here, shall we? This smells conspiracy theory all over the place. It has been known fact that the NHL did not want John Scott in the All-Star game, so it wouldn't be a massive surprise if they orchestrated this trade, which are some sources have, or some big name insiders have come out and flat out said this was most likely orchestrated by the NHL to make sure John Scott could not be in the All-Star game. And here's the thing, if the NHL does go through with not having John Scott be the Arizona Coyotes representative in the All-Star game, then they're literally giving the biggest middle finger to the fans who voted him into the All-Star game. You know, it. And here's the thing. If you didn't like how the fact that the fans voted him in, let him do the All-Star game like he said he wants to do. And then next season, you fixed how the fan voting's done. So you have a pre-selected players who you want to be selected as a captain in the All-Star game, and not let it be set up where you can vote for any player that you want to go into the All-Star game. You know, it's just that simple. It's not hard to do. So I say this trade, as good as it is for the Arizona Coyotes, because they do get defenseman Jared Tenorti, who is a young 23-year-old kid and also the son of former Washington Capitals defenseman Mark Tenorti, you know, the kid can play and he's going to get actual playing opportunities in Arizona. But to trade John Scott to Montreal, Montreal come out flat out say they're never going to play him this season and essentially screw him out of the All-Star game. To me, as a hockey fan, that doesn't sit right with me. I mean, I personally didn't vote for him, but the story about him going there and, you know, being humble about it, it makes me go, hey, you know what? The guy deserves to go for that fact alone, that he took what was potentially a joke and actually going with it. And, you know, my hat's off to John Scott, and I really do hope he gets to go into the All-Star game as voted by us, the fans. But, you know, enough about that because I can rant more and more, and we'll probably have more about it on next week's episode when we get official word about what's going on with John Scott in the All-Star game. But then also on the 15th, there was another trade. The Pittsburgh Penguins traded forward David Perron and defenseman Adam Clendenning to the Anaheim Ducks for forward Carl Hagelin. And then Patrick Kane later that day scored his first regular season hat trick of his career to lead the Chicago Blackhawks past the Toronto Maple Leafs 4-1 for their 10th consecutive victory. And then on 1-15, Vladislav Namestnikov completed his first career hat trick at 2:11 of overtime to lead the Tampa Bay Lightning to a 5-4 win against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Experience Hockey. Oh, wait, and there was one more note. Scott Gomez has signed a professional tryout with the Hershey Bears, the Washington Capitals affiliate. For those wondering, it's a 25-game professional tryout for Gomez. If things don't work out with Mike Richards, or if it does, but they feel that maybe Scott Gomez can contribute as well, the Capitals will have to sign Gomez to a contract themselves in order to bring him up. So just a little note, Scott Gomez is now with the Hershey Bears on a professional tryout. That is an interesting thing to look at, so we'll keep our eyes open. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Experience Hockey Talk. Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Experience Hockey and on Facebook at facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk. And of course, as always, we are brought to you by the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Tilted Kilt Pub in Erie, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt girls. For more information on Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And until next time, guys, I'll see you on the ice.